Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke chapter 20 today on Through the Word, where Jesus is asked three tough questions by some folks who don't believe and don't really seem to want answers. Which makes you wonder, is it okay to ask God questions? And if you do question God, will he answer? I think that depends on whether your question is really a question or something else disguised as a question. Some questions are really just excuses or even accusations put into question form, but those who ask don't really want answers. God can always tell the difference, of course, and as we shall see here in Luke 20, Jesus sees through to the motive behind every question, and his answers always get to the heart of the matter. Now, the setting here is essential. This is Jesus' last week on earth, the Passion Week. It is probably Tuesday, and Jesus is in Jerusalem all week, which was packed with visiting Jews who came to town to celebrate the Passover. They celebrated Passover every year, just as God told them, so that they would never forget one of the most important stories in their history. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites were in bitter slavery in Egypt. God rescued the Israelites, but it wasn't easy. He sent plagues upon Egypt, and the last plague was death of every firstborn. The Israelites had only one escape from this same death. The blood of a lamb had to be placed on their doorposts. Here in Luke 20, the people are in Jerusalem preparing for the Passover feast to remember their rescue from slavery and from death itself. For 3 days at the beginning of the week, the priests were inspecting the Passover lambs, also known as the Lamb of God. The lamb had to be spotless and perfect. What the Jews did not realize was that the true Lamb of God was in Jerusalem with them. Jesus is, of course, known as the Lamb of God. The whole Passover story is a picture of Jesus and his work. And as the people went about their celebration, the real story was being fulfilled perfectly right in their own city. Just as the Israelites were saved from slavery and death by the blood of a lamb, we are saved from sin and death by the blood of Christ. And just like the Passover lamb, Jesus had to be perfect. So while some priests in Jerusalem were inspecting sheep, other priests were inspecting Jesus. His inspection came in the form of questions to see if he was spotless. They will inspect Jesus on three basic points in this chapter: authority, integrity, and doctrine. Question number one comes in verse 1 and 2. One day as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things," they said. "Who gave you this authority?" So the first question is about authority. Authority is power that comes from the right source. Anyone can claim that this or that is true or tell you what to do, but who says you have to listen? And based on what? That's what the priests were saying to Jesus. Who says we should listen to you, Jesus? A valid question, if they actually want an answer. But Jesus doesn't answer their question, not directly anyway. Instead, at verse 3, he replied, "I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men?" So why doesn't Jesus just answer their question and say he is the Son of God? Because they won't listen. And Jesus uses his own question to show them why. See, John the Baptist had already told everyone that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He pointed everyone to Jesus. But these men refused to listen to John, and so they will refuse to listen to Jesus as well. As you read, you'll see the heart of their problem is simple: the fear of man. They're so concerned about what all the people think that things like truth and God's authority don't really matter to them anymore. So the priests and teachers can't come up with an answer, and Jesus responds in verse 8, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Jesus then tells a parable about a man who owned a vineyard and rented it to some farmers. As you read it, keep in mind that Jesus is still talking to these same men and trying to help them see their own mistake. And if you read carefully, you'll see that Jesus does answer their question inside the parable. The vineyard owner is, of course, a picture of God, and the evil farmers are the wicked leaders of Israel, the ones Jesus is talking to right here. And in the story, they reject and kill the son of the vineyard owner. Get the picture? They kill the son. Just to make sure the priests and teachers get it, Jesus looks directly at them, and in verse 17 he asks, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." So Jesus quotes from the Old Testament here. It's Psalm 118:22, and it is quoted in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament verse. It also captures the very heart of what is happening in this chapter. This short verse tells a story in itself. Picture the builders of the temple choosing the perfect stones from the rock quarry to make the walls and structure, tossing aside whatever stones they don't like. Yet when they go searching for the most important stone of all, the cornerstone, they discover it is a stone that they had tossed out. The cornerstone is Jesus. Hey, this isn't just their story, this is my story. I tossed Jesus aside for years, but now I have found that he is the perfect cornerstone for my life. Moving on to the second question in chapter 20, it shows up in verse 22. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So this question looks like an honest one, but once again, there is more to it than meets the ear. See, Caesar was head of the Roman Empire, which had taken over Israel with cruel force. So paying taxes to Caesar was basically like buying swords for the enemy. But what can you do? This is really a trick question, sort of like asking, hey, Johnny, have you stopped cheating on your tests yet? Or, hey, Sally, why do you keep spaghetti in your shoes? The idea here is that no matter what you answer, you look bad. If Jesus answers yes, pay taxes, they'll accuse him of supporting an evil government and turn the people against him. If he answers no, they'll tell the Romans that Jesus is a lawbreaker and get him arrested. But in verse 23, he saw through their duplicity and said to them, show me a denarius, whose portrait and inscription are on it. Caesar's, they replied. He said to them, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Jesus' answer here is brilliant. Caesar made the money, his image is on it, so give it back to him if he wants it. It's lousy, but it's the right thing to do. But he also says, give to God what is God's. Now you have to think about that one for a second. Where did God place his image? Think back to Genesis and you will find a powerful insight into what Jesus means when he tells you, give to God what is God's. A little side note here, if a Christian leader tells you not to pay your taxes for whatever reason, please read these verses carefully and bring your questions to Jesus for real answers. Now, question number three for Jesus comes from the Sadducees. They're sort of a liberal group among the Jews. And as the saying goes, the Sadducees were very sad, you see, because they didn't believe in life after death. Once again, these guys don't really want answers, but they ask their question anyway. Basically, they want to know what happens in heaven for a woman who was married and widowed several times on earth. Who will she be married to? What they're really trying to say to Jesus is, see, there can't be a heaven. It just brings up too many issues, as if God can't handle complicated issues. That's a good lesson for all of us. Don't ever believe that God can't handle your issues. I promise you, you are not too complicated for God. And when you get to the life after this one, God will definitely work out your issues. Theological issues, emotional issues, physical issues, all your subscriptions are canceled. So Jesus answers the third question and scores the verbal equivalent of a hat trick. Or if you prefer bowling to hockey, it's a turkey. Now you can read Jesus' answer for yourself. Once again, he not only answers the question, but also gets to the heart behind it. Then, when all the different Jewish priests and rabbis are done asking their questions, Jesus asks one of his own in verse 41. Again, he quotes the Old Testament, this time to help them understand that the Messiah promised was something much more than what they're looking for. It's another thinker, so I'll let you read it for yourself and ponder over it and on your own time. And I hope that you do read Luke chapter 20 today, and bring all your questions and your issues to our God, who invites us in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamond Head, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.